Sometimes we're stuck, told to be ordinary, afraid to jump, held down by the fear.
This is episode 9 of Roland Chidiac Connects. In this episode, I bring you Sarah Thomas, a regional technology coordinator in the Washington, D.C. area. Sarah is passionate about helping educators connect globally. In 2014, she started the EduMatch project to help facilitate global connections. Listen in to hear about what motivates and inspires her as she does her everyday work. Hey Sarah, how are you today?
Hey, doing great. How are you, Roland?
I'm good. I'm happy to be able to connect with you and take up a little bit of your time to talk about the things that inspire and motivate you as an educator. So I'm very, very happy to be doing this with you today.
Thank you so much. And the feeling is mutual. I really appreciate the honor of you inviting me.
Oh, no problem. That was the easy part. The easy part is talking or inviting that I see the work and admire. Inviting them is the easy part. The hard part is having to find the time to actually sit down and chat, because essentially we're sitting down to chat, and I know that that's tough because everybody's got jobs and families and stuff. So I'm very appreciative of people's time, because like I said, it's easy to ask, but then it's harder to kind of actually find the time to sit down and do it. So I appreciate it, and I can't wait to start talking to you about the work that you do.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about your role in education right now.
Sure. Well, for my job, I work as a regional technology coordinator in Maryland. I'm part of a team of about, 18 people now who are we collectively identify as trainers, and we go out and we help schools and teachers and students meet their technology needs. So that's what I do as a career, and I love it. I'm new to the role. I started in November, but this is my first week of school. So this is the first time I get to see it from a district level, all the excitement with the teachers and the students coming back in and all the great things like that. And then also, I'm the founder of the EduMatch project, which is a global network of educators who grow and learn together. And lastly, I am a doc candidate at George Mason University.
You basically addressed right away, right off the top, all the things I wanted to talk about. So I'm glad that you got it all out there. I wanted to ask, well, I'm going to get to EduMatch and I'm going to get to your doctoral studies, but I would like to know, before you started this role that you're in now, what did you do before this role?
Prior to this, I was in the classroom, and I had about 10 years experience as a classroom teacher. I've taught every grade from 1 through 12. I have not gone below that, but most recently, I was working as a technology education teacher at a high school, which I did for a few months. And prior to that, I was working as an English language arts and technology teacher at the middle school level, which I did for about 7 years.
Was it hard for you to make this move to this new position?
It was, but I knew that it was time. I found myself doing a lot of the things I do now in my current role. I was doing them on the side, you know, pretty much that was my passion. That's what I was doing outside of work, just working to help teachers grow using technology. So it was just kind of a logical move. The hardest part was probably saying goodbye to the kids, but they were so understanding and so happy for me. So so it all worked out.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm sorry that it's been kind of like not a tough adjustment, but to some people, right? Like, you can get a new role and it's not the smoothest start or whatever. But I mean, from your online presence, it doesn't sound like you're suffering too much. So that's good.
Oh yeah. No, it was a very, very smooth start. Like it was fantastic. And I was lucky in the fact that I was joining a team of people who I had learned so much from as a classroom teacher. And it felt like stepping from one family into another. So I couldn't have been more thrilled with that part.
Okay. So I usually tell people at this point how I know the person that I'm talking to. So you and I have never met face to face, but we've been following each other on Twitter for a little bit now. And I know that we belong to a Voxer group together. So I've heard you talk about education and like ed tech type stuff on Voxer. And we're connected on Facebook too, which is kind of nice. We get to see another side of this is what I think of Facebook. So it's cool. The whole time that I've been connected to you, you've always been very open and supportive with respect to like professional learning and then the different ideas and things that go into the really awesome stuff that teachers do in the classroom. Which brings me to, and you talked a little bit about it earlier. I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about how the idea came to be. I was reading an article here that I found on Facebook about your work with EduMatch, and what you say in the article about having an idea and then thinking it's going to flop. But doing it anyway because you feel passionate about it. I'd love to hear from you about that process of getting EduMatch together and then what motivated and inspired you to kind of keep doing it or even start it when you thought it might be a flop.
Yeah. So the way that EduMatch came about is that I was on Voxer on a Friday night talking with one of my friends, and she was talking about math and gamification in math. And I just had a similar conversation with my cousin who used to be a New York City teacher. And he was telling me about some really cool gamifying things that they were doing in math. So I told her, hey, you and my cousin should talk and brainstorm and collaborate and things of that nature. And I was just like, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, we should, there's gotta be something out there that does that. And so I went on Twitter and looked, couldn't find anything. I did a Google search, couldn't find anything free. So I was thinking, you know, if I want to connect with other educators, you know, I'm not going to pay money to do so. I want to use social media, which is what I'm already using, and just kind of see if there's a way to help educators connect through social media and kind of around their interests. So that's when I decided to start the EduMatch account. And I really did not think that it was going to work at first. I really thought that it was going to, you know, that it was just going to flop, like you said. But I mean, it's one of those things. It's a magical moment. We all have those times where we have ideas go by in our mind and we're just like, well, do we do this? Do we not do this? And having come from, Google Teacher Academy, as it was called back then, as I think you went through it when it was GTA as well, right?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So having come from that, I had moonshot thinking on my mind, and so I was just like, okay, well, let me just test and see what'll happen, because I mean, really, what do I have to lose? So I just went ahead, set up the Twitter handle. Right away, there was someone in Australia who responded, who said that he was willing to give it a shot. So he told me some information about himself. And throughout the course of the day, I tweeted it out, checked in with him after the fact. And he said that it was really cool. He connected with a lot of really interesting people. So that was encouragement to keep doing it. And I went back and talked to the first friend who, you know, who was the indirect muse for the idea, and she said, you know, you need a website. And I said, you know what, you're right. So the next day I built a website, and just as people continued to join in, then and have made suggestions on how to, you know, why don't you try this, then, you know, my response has generally been, yeah, let's try it and see what happens, and if it sticks, then it sticks. And that's pretty much how it's grown, and now it's grown to this this kind of epic, to epic proportions that I had no idea the very first night that it would end up, you know, being this beautiful network that just everyone who has joined has contributed to in some way.
Think about it. I think what a great initiative. And I can relate to you talking about having gone to the GTA, as it was called before, and then leaving with ideas and an energy that is a little bit different than the energy that we might experience in our districts after doing really good PD. Like, I don't know about you, but my academy experience was like unlike anything I've ever experienced before. Learn and listen to learn from the cohort and then listen from our leaders was just like, it was incredible. So I totally get what you're saying, and I'm glad that you pursued it. And it's really nice to hear about the motivation to continue, you know, seeing people join in and thinking, wow, you know, I'm onto something here. This is going to be beneficial to people. I need to keep it going. So that's really cool. Okay, you got EduMatch. Can you tell us what you've recently started?
which thing? I'm sorry.
So I'm guilty a little bit here because I was doing a little bit of research and I can't find. Okay, you've started another kind of a similar around professional learning.
Oh, okay. Are you talking about Ed Squad?
Yes, Ed Squad. Thank you.
All right. Ed Squad. Yes. That's,
But now you've got me thinking that you've got a whole bunch of things on the go and I might get to tap into something that you haven't told anybody about yet.
Oh, secret stuff, right? Yeah. But Ed Squad is like, it's quite a few of us. I'm one of many, but, you know, some of us were talking and, you know, we do so many virtual professional learning things that, you know, why not make an alliance and just kind of combine and just help get the word out for each other and, you know, maybe collaborate, do some things together, just because there's many people out there like you and me who are always, you know, hungry for this professional learning, you know, and to collaborate and communicate with others. So, you know, if I'm doing an event and if you're doing an event, you know, our goal is the same. So to help people get this knowledge on. So why not join forces and, you know, you tell your people about my thing, I tell my people about your thing. And that is pretty much where we are right now for Ed Squad. And we're looking to kind of continue to grow that way. But we set up the Twitter account and, you know, Shelly Sanchez Terrell found she set up this great round team, I believe it is. So it's what it allows is kind of an auto retweet of a hashtag. So now anytime someone's putting on a professional learning event that's free and open to the public, they can just hashtag it Ed Squad and it'll auto retweet. So that way that'll help to get the word out. So so that's where that is right now, and hopefully there'll be more cool stuff coming down the pipe.
Yeah, it sounds great. And when I saw it, I thought this is another great, and to provide them with information about ways that they can learn some more. I think it's great. Right away when I saw the name Ed Squad, I thought of superheroes and comic books. So that was nice for me to have that visual in my brain. But okay, so you're a busy lady. You've got all these things going on and you're constantly learning. You're constantly going after things that interest you, which brings me to your learning. So did you recently complete a master's degree?
No, that one, I wish it were recent. That was back in 2007, but right now I'm towards the end of my doctoral degree. My doctoral program should hopefully be coming to a close this school year. So we'll see, because I went straight from the master's into this doctoral program. So I'll let you do the math on how long that is and what chunk of my life it has taken. But
well, I was going to say, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying it.
Oh,
sorry. You go.
No, ladies first.
No, I was just saying that I'm simultaneously happy and sad that it's coming to a close.
I bet, because you seem like the type that's, because of your thirst for knowledge, I could see why it'd be a sad thing, but you've got to be happy to be coming to an end to this in terms of all the hard work you've put in.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, once it's over, then I'll have to redefine the way that I see myself, because student has always been part of it. And I guess like I'll still be a student of the world, you know, and a student of my PLN, but a formalized student. Like, I've been in school since I was 3. So, you know, in any kind of formal way, then that chapter is coming to an end, which is good, because then that can open up a new chapter. There's other things I want to do with my life that I haven't really done yet, because, you know, my excuse has always been, I'm in school. When I'm done with school, I'll stop. So.
Right. Tell us what your doctorate is all about.
Sure. Yeah. It's a doctorate of education, PhD. It is a specialization in international education. And my research area is like looking at a Haitian student. I actually did a case study on him and his teacher, his Esau teacher. And he created videos reflecting on his learning and explaining key concepts. And, you know, just kind of seeing how that helped him as a learner. So spoiler alert, he ended up testing out of the ESOL program at the end of the year. So, you know, with this particular case, then it, you know, then the practice appeared to be beneficial. There were a lot of other things at play as well that could contribute to his success, but he reported enjoying and finding the practice beneficial.
Said that you've been in school since you were 3, and that after you're finished your doctorate, you're going to have to redefine who you are, which brings me, yes. So I have an idea of how you might answer this next question, but what motivated you to move on and do a doctorate after a master's degree?
It was kind of something I've always wanted to do. Since I was a little kid, I remember being maybe 5 or 6 years old and just kind of finding out about these degrees and things like that. And I set that goal for myself. And I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, as I've gotten older and become an adult and all kinds of things, and then I've learned more and more that knowledge and learning is not about, you know, having these degrees. It's, you know, there's so much that we learn through experience and, through practice. But, you know, having set that goal for myself as a young child, I wanted to, make myself proud, make previous me proud of current me. So, you know, I just went ahead and went with it. And I figured that it would probably be best to just get it all out the way at once, you know, if possible. So, I was lucky enough to be able to do that, to just keep going right along.
Are there any other really big goals that you've set for yourself from earlier on that you want to pursue?
Ooh, that's a, you know, I haven't really thought about that. I do know that I want to write a book, and that is coming very close to happening. Through EduMatch, you know, we just recently got an intent to use trademark, and the category, I decided to go with ebooks, because that has always been a goal to write a book. So I figured that, you know, this would be the way to make that goal a reality. So we are collaboratively working on an EduMatch snapshot of education in 2016. So there's quite a few people involved in that who are each writing a chapter, and we're going to hopefully put it out around the beginning of 2017. And in addition, you know, I'm hoping to write a little something myself as well.
And you're not going to give us a hint of what that might be about?
I'm still kind of working on it. Okay, I started writing it a couple years ago, but I'm thinking I might switch gears and go in a different direction. But But what I have written, I've written about 12,000 words, and it has been kind of about my journey to education and just, you know, different things that have come up, and just ways to navigate and thrive in the educational space.
Okay, so would you say that it would be a book? Would it be an educational book? Like, would it be written for educators to read, or would it be more general for just anybody to pick up and read?
I don't even know, because I feel like I want to change the focus now, you know? Like, I feel like when I started writing it, I was a different person. And given all of this collaboration that I've just kind of been fortunate to be surrounded with over the past couple of years, I feel like I'm a different person now. So I need to go back and just kind of revisit that.
Wouldn't it be cool though to keep what you have and then start it up again, or sorry, maybe not start it up again, but keep what you have, and then as you continue, the readers that over time you have changed, and now this is kind of your new self moving forward. I think that'd be powerful for people to see that progression and the way that life works that, like that.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I feel like we have the ability to do that, like especially when we blog, like going back and looking at old blog posts and looking at current blog posts, you can kind of see the progression in a lot of people who blog. So, but I love that idea. That's a really, really cool one.
It's been on my mind a little bit, especially with having like starting the podcast. It's my growth. And I'm thinking about, you know, before I started blogging, I thought, nobody's ever going to read this. What's the purpose of this? And then after I got over the idea that, you know, that was a big flop, it was more beneficial to me than anybody else. So that was, you know, that kept me going. And then when I thought of doing this, it was just another iteration of me and who I am and kind of my passions and what I want to get to. So I think it'd be really awesome if you just kept going with your writing and acknowledged the fact that you feel like you're a different person and that what you have written earlier is Thomas, and this is the not new and improved, but the evolved one, or just the person who's more moved forward because of her circumstances. I think that'd be kind of neat.
Oh, that is a great idea. I love that.
And I wanted to say that it's almost like you're using your Ed Squad powers with me today, because you at the beginning, you talked about your work and you told us about EduMatch and you told us about your doctorate. And I wanted to go to all those places. So you kind of read my mind. And then after I asked you the question about what you see happening in the future, I right away wrote down, it's on my paper here, ask her if she's planning on writing a book. And you just answered the question before I even got to it. So do you know next?
I'm not sure. It's always a surprise.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm excited to hear about your book. I think by it. I don't consider myself a writer, so I'm fascinated by my friends and the people I'm connected with who are writing books and putting things together for educators to benefit their practice and to help their students learn. I think it's awesome. I think that we live in a time where it's much easier to put these things together than it used to be. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time. And I'm happy to hear that you're going to be doing some writing around EduMatch, because I think that it continues to evolve. I know I look forward to seeing how it continues to evolve. It's a big deal. I've heard a lot of people refer to it. And so to be able to talk to you about it, someone who's pretty much the founder, it's a neat perspective, and I hope people appreciate that you're telling us a little bit about it. I never did ask you where you're located.
Oh yeah, I am. I always split the difference and call it the DC area, but I live in Virginia and I work in Maryland. So
yeah. Cool. And have you always been from that area?
I have born in Alexandria, Virginia. I live 20 minutes away, so always.
Very good. Have you ever been to Canada?
I have a couple of times. Where in Canada are you again?
I'm an hour away from Toronto. I'm in Waterloo.
Okay, Waterloo. Gotcha. I've never been there, but yeah, Canada's great.
Where have you been?
I've been to, let me see. I've been to Montreal a couple times, been to Quebec City a couple times. I'm trying to remember the name of the city. It starts with an O. But they had CanFlip there back in 2014. It was at
Ottawa?
No, not Ottawa. It was like
Oakville?
No, it was no. It was O'Keegan? I don't know.
Well, that's okay, but I thought it was interesting that you've been to Quebec and Montreal. You've been to the French side of Canada.
Yes. Yeah.
Were you vacationing or were you there for a conference or something?
I was, the first time I went, it was for a conference. The second time I went was to visit family. Like, my family's from Haiti, so, you know, we're kind of spread out, but a lot of people are located in Montreal because, you know, it's a French-speaking area. And then I went a few times with a school I used to work with because they were a French immersion school. So to take the kids, so the kids have the opportunity to practice French. So.
Excellent. I love that. It's rare that when I ask somebody, well, I've not asked too many people on the podcast, but when I've met people, the few things I've done in the United States, I always ask them, have you been to Canada? And if they have, it's been to Ottawa or Toronto or Vancouver, you know, the big cities, but nobody's ever talked about Quebec. So that's kind of cool. It's neat. Yeah. So you have a French background, I guess.
Yeah. Like my parents, they came over in the 60s from Haiti, and you know, they speak pretty much everything to us in the house, like mostly English, but some French and a lot of Creole. So, you know, I can understand Creole a lot better than I can speak it. But French, since they teach it at school, then, you know, I'm pretty okay at it. Yeah. And what about you?
I was born and raised here in Canada in Ottawa. My parents are from Lebanon. They came over in 1975 to start a new life here. And so that's my story. So I was born and bred in Ottawa, and then I went to a little place in Ontario called North Bay for my teacher's college, and that's where I met my wife. And then, we did the long distance thing. I went to North Bay, got my teaching certificate, and then I went back to Ottawa to do my master's degree. And then she went back to Waterloo. That's where she's from. She started teaching right away. And then when I finished my master's, I moved to Waterloo and started teaching.
Cool.
We hooked up. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've always been here. I have visited the United States several times. I go there every year to see a football game with my brother-in-law, so that's cool. And, you know, it's not hard to go to the States. I've never lived too far away from the border, so it's always fun.
Yeah, totally.
People who want to connect with you can connect with you on Twitter, and your handle is at Sarah the Teacher. So it's SarahDa. TEECHUR. Mm-hmm. That's how they can connect with you on Twitter. Is there anywhere else where they can connect with you?
Yeah, Voxer, same name. Let me see. They could also connect with EduMatch on Twitter. That's Edu_match. And Voxer, no, it's not on Voxer, but on Snapchat, also Edu_match. Instagram, Edu_match, and our website is edumatch.org.
I'm going to ask you one more question. I call it the final word, and the final word goes to the guest, and the question is around motivation and inspiration. So if somebody came up to you, well, actually they don't even have to come up to you, because of your role you get to work with a lot of teachers. So you're working with a teacher and they just motivated at all, they don't seem to be inspired at all, what would you say to them to help them become motivated or to become inspired in their everyday work?
Oh man, for that one, that's a tough one. But I know that a lot of times people like being recognized for the things that they do well. So mm-hmm. I would ask them about their strengths. What do they feel that they do well? And then from that, then, you know, I definitely try to build upon that, ask them to maybe share that with someone who might need some assistance in that domain, or, you know, with the idea of eventually maybe getting them to blog and maybe getting them to connect with other educators. And, you know, from there in those conversations, and I'm almost 100% sure they will find something new that they want to try, or, you know, definitely a new idea, and get some motivation that way.
Have you experienced that at all, where you've connected with someone who just didn't seem motivated and were asking you for some kind of advice to help them along that path?
I have not. I know that a lot of times, you know, if people are unmotivated, then they'll just, you know, stay that way. And I haven't really had a whole lot of people that were unmotivated reach out, but if they did, then that would probably be the path that I would try to take with them.
That the people who usually would tend to be motivated, or at least heading in a direction, planning on doing something, right? Because it takes something to kind of move in this direction, to connect with people you don't know, or to ask for help from someone. So, something else, which is completely off topic, but that's okay. Listen, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk. I'm glad that we could connect, and that these questions about the work you do, Ed Squad, EduMatch, your doctoral work, like just listening to you talk about it, it makes me think, you know, the whole lifelong learning piece, it sounds like we never stop learning, so we might as well learn the things that we're passionate about or that interest us, to kind of keep that love going and keep that momentum going. So I look forward to doctorate, because I want to see what you do next, because I know you don't seem like the type that's just going to, you're going to get your degree and then be like, yeah, okay, it's done, I'm done. You don't doesn't seem like your style. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next and what comes out of Ed Squad as well, which is a great idea. It's so awesome that people like you are thinking about these things and going with the flow and throwing them out there, whether they flop or not. We all have ideas, and it's really the spice of life to kind of keep seeing what sticks. And we learn from everything. So I'm sure if EduMatch didn't work, you would have twisted it and come up with something new to try.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, you're right. It's all about definitely throwing it out there and seeing what sticks. Definitely.
Okay, so I hope you have an awesome day.
Thanks.
And I know you've started school, so you're in the middle of all that. I've not started school yet. We start on September the 6th. So I'm still in like summer mode. I've been in my classroom to prepare and stuff like that, but I'm still, but what's going to happen to the podcast when school starts? But I'm going to try to squeeze it in as much as I can.
I got you. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry. My phone rang, so I just took the video off for a quick second.
Oh, no problem. I can't wait to, when this goes out and people hear that you were in your car on your phone, not driving,
right,
but in your car on your phone doing this, because this is, it's stuff like this that makes it a lot of fear for me. The podcasting thing started with my iPhone, and I just love the way I can just idea and then use what I have around me to start something. So it's just neat that I never imagined that someone would be in their car on their phone chatting with me. Like, that just never came to my mind.
I got you. Yeah, technology is just wonderful. All the things
it is.
That's the truth.
Okay, well, take care.
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
When it's out for the masses, you'll be the first to know.
Now that I found my confidence, I'm soaring. Are you on my team? Are you?